Okay, we're going to open up in prayer. First, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Let's go to God in prayer and pray with me this morning, please. Okay. Heavenly Father, we are coming to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. So thank you for this day that you bless us to be a part of. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing us to be your, to be with you in paradise. We knew, I know, Father, that it's impossible for us to choose you, for you chose us before we were conceived in our mother's womb, and we thank you for that. Lord, I know that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hand, and Lord, and you control everything, Father, so we come before the throne of grace and mercy humbly today. So thank you for the blessings that you poured out our way, the health and safety that you've given us, the sound mind and body that you provided for us, the way that you have fed us, Father, the way that you've clothed us, Father, the things that you've done seen and unseen, Father, we thank you for that and so much more. We thank you for being God all by yourself, that you're not like man that could fail us, Father. You are a God who's unfailing, whose love is unyielding, who cares about everything that we care about and even beyond what we know. So, Father, we come before your throne to say thank you. Thank you for the grace and love that you continuously pour out to our loved ones. Thank you for shielding and protecting the children, our grandchildren. Thank you for protecting our siblings. Thank you for protecting those that have parents still alive, Father, keeping them, Father. And, Father, thank you for the parents that you gave us, for those parents that have gone into glory. Lord, we thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this life today, Lord. And we come because, Father, we need you. And we're asking that you would feed us, Father. Feed us, Lord, but give us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness. Give us a mind to understand and a heart to receive what you have for us to receive today. Let us not just go through this activity, Father, but this time with you, not an activity, but, Father, a transformation that we need, Father. We need a renewing of our spirit. We need a refreshing of your Holy Spirit in all of us today. Oh, Lord, let those concerns that we have in this world be gone right now in the name of Jesus, because, Father, you control everything, and you care about every need we have. So let us lay our cares at your feet right now, Almighty God. And lift us up, Father, and let us receive what you have for us to receive today. We praise you and we thank you. We glorify you and we honor you. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word. Remove her and let your word speak through her. And bless the reader, Father, as she brings forth the reading of the word. Let the anointing fall afresh and anew upon Alexandra today, Father. And then, Lord, all those that would hear, Lord, give us a new way of hearing. Give us a new way of hearing from you today, Lord God, that it will not just go in one ear and go out the other, but let it be a seed planted in us, Lord. And Father, you as the gardener, water it, Lord, and grow it, Father, for your kingdom's sake and for your glory's sake, we pray. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this time. Blessed be your name. O Jehovah Jireh, we glorify you and we honor you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, and ask that your will be done today. And, Lord, show us all that you want us to do and how you want it done. Guide us in the matchless name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
While Richard was praying, the Lord showed me something. And for whoever this is for, it's probably for everyone that's within the sound of my voice, it's raining. And as I saw the rain coming down, now where we are, it's not a cloudless sky, it's blue sky, sunshine, it's beautiful. But my eyes were closed when I saw it raining. And I was looking at the rain through my eyelids. I don't expect anybody to understand what that is unless you have that, you know, that's whatever. But what came to me as I was looking at the rain is that song, Open the Storehouse of Heaven, Let It Rain.
Amen.
Some of you may know the song, may not, but God is pouring down a blessing from the storehouse in heaven.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And Amen. He's doing it right now.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
You're in it.
Thank you,
Lord. It's pouring over you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Praise his holy name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise his holy name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
What a beautiful thing to be in the right place and the right time.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Every one of us has needs, and he knows what they are, and he's opened the storehouse.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Abba, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Praise
you,
your
Lord.
Holy name.
Hallelujah.
We're in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. A little bit of a recap because a week's kind of a long time to be visiting. But during last week, David is on the run. Jonathan has verified that his father really is trying to kill him. And David has fled to Gath. And Gath happens to be the place where Goliath is from. And David panics and decides to pretend he's a crazy person. So he starts scratching at doors and whatnot because this man brought him before the king. And the king just looked at him like, why are you bringing me? I don't have enough crazy people in my own kingdom. I need more crazy people. That's what I need. Get them out of here. So David fled and he went and stayed in these caves. And these caves are about, I think it's about, it's only a couple of miles, just a few miles from Jerusalem, believe it or not, or Bethlehem of Judea. So all of this is all taking place in the same region where Jesus ends up coming about 2,000 years later. Isn't that amazing? This is what was going on in that region at that time. It's kind of like if I was to say, I'm from a little town, Milpitas. Everybody has some place they're from. And the generations and generations of what took place in that very region makes it even more familiar to you, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So David has run, and now 400 men have come. And can somebody that remembers tell me what kind of people came and began to gather towards to David?
The rejects, the people that owed debt, people who were people didn't want to be a part of, people they didn't care about.
The shut out ones.
Society's so-called rejects.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their problem was with what?
The government.
The government was what Saul was doing. But what was Saul doing that Samuel had not prophesied, if you get a king, he's going to do?
Nothing more.
I want you to get the magnitude of this. Say, for example, you're Jesse. Remember who Jesse is? Jesse's David's dad. And Jesse has 7 sons, and he's got, you know, he's a shepherd. He's got flocks that need to be watched and all that it takes to run this type of enterprise, we'll call it. And Saul says, send David. I want your son David. I've heard him play the part. Summon him. I want him here. And that could cause a real lack for Jesse. But if the king orders your son to come, your son's coming. And one son down, how many more of my sons might the king decide he wants? Or how much more of my land might the king decide he wants? Or how high am I going to tax the people to where they don't even want to work? They don't even want to consider themselves part of this, you know, kingdom anymore. So these are the kind of people, disgruntled people with what's going on coming out of Saul's kingdom. And Saul, remember, is the very first king. This is not off to a good start for the people of Israel, but it's what they said they wanted. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, Sandra, please start verse 1. Chapter 22, verse 1.
You got it. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him.
Stop there one sec. The cave of Adullam. Adullam was one of the rulers of the Canaanites. So all this county, all of this countryside that David is hiding out in were abandoned cities of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites had many caves and became what we're going to see later on. It's a stronghold for David. Has anybody on this call ever visited New Mexico?
I have.
Yeah.
In New Mexico, if you recall, they have all these little caves that's into the mountainside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see them. And the Indians used to inhabit those caves. And it was very hard to get them out because the only way to get in the cave is through the front door. And that gives the person in the front door the advantage, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is, if you've been to New Mexico and you ever get a chance to look at these caves that people inhabited that were hewn into the rock, you'll get a visual of what this looked like because there were many caves. David was staying in a cave, but there were many others also in the cave all around it because that was a fortified city at one time of the Canaanites. And remember, the Canaanites were driven out, but this is still the land of Canaan. Okay, I don't know. Okay, keep going.
From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet, Gad, said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered, and Saul was seated, spear in hand, under the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, with all his officials standing at his side. He said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make all of you commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie and wait for me as he does today."
Stop but there. Stop right there. Now, Saul is sitting under this tree. Get the visual. And this tree is a tree that grows with, that doesn't grow very high. It's kind of a short tree. And it grows with extending branches that are soft, kind of flimsy leaves, kind of whimsical type leaves. Here Saul sits, and he's sitting there with his spear in his hand. And he's surrounded by his most...
Maya, call your cousin back, please, and put on speakerphone.
He's surrounded by the most trusted men that he has. And, of course, those men are Benjaminites. Why are they Benjaminites?
They're from the tribe of Benjamin, right?
Why are they the most trusted men?
Because they're priests, aren't they?
Levites are priests.
Oh, Levites.
Benjaminites is where Saul is from.
Oh, yeah.
Saul is a Benjaminite. So the people gathering around him are people from his same tribe. Those are his biggest supporters. So he's got the Benjaminite people closest to him that support him. And he's talking to them because he knows he can get them riled up because David, he has heard, has gone on to Judah, to the territory of Judah. Back to the tribe of Judah. Where's the tribe of Judah? The tribe of Judah is his people. Remember, David comes through the line of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So does Christ. So David is, you know, gone and he's going back to where he's from. Saul is going to get his people riled up by telling them, hey, do you think that David, if David became king, do you think that David would do you guys any favor, Benjaminites? Do you think he'd be giving you positions of authority like I have? So he's getting them riled up. Now he's accusing them of being traitors because apparently he believes, which was probably true, that some of them actually knew where David's hideout was. And they didn't run to Saul and tell him, hey, you know where David is? So he's accusing them now of being traitors. Okay, verse 9.
But Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provision and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then
stop right there. I want you to recognize something, because I want you to recognize something in people. People tell stories the way they want them heard.
Mm-hmm.
The story that, remember when when we ran into this Edomite and he was listening when David was talking to the priest?
Right.
And he heard David say, I'm on a special mission. And he heard this priest say, hey, what are you doing here by yourself? Because he wasn't comfortable with David being there by himself. But then David said, well, I'm the son-in-law of Saul, for crying out loud. Do I have to explain myself? I'm on a special mission. And by the way, we're hungry. And by the way, we were in such a hurry to get on this special mission of the king that I don't have a sword. Got a sword? A sword around here anywhere? And so the priest, we know what mindset the priest had, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The priest started out cautious.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing anything against the king, and he was concerned initially. But when David told him the story, and knowing that David is the son-in-law of the king, married to the king's daughter, for crying out loud. But when this Edomite tells the story, hey, I saw the son of Jesse. Notice how nobody wants to call David's name. Saul is still the son of Jesse, and now this Edomite is repeating, well, I saw the son of Jesse. All the sons of Jesse has, but David's called the son of Jesse. Again, remember, any of you saw that, I want you to get a flashback. Remember the old Ten Commandments movie?
Right. Yes.
And remember when he was casting Moses out
mm-hmm.
of Egypt and he said, let the name of Moses be stricken from every tablet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a way of, you know, the final disgrace and separation. And so I'm getting the sense here that Saul doesn't even want David's name mentioned, because the Edomite finds, you know, immediately follows suit and says, yeah, I saw the son of Jesse. And he was the priest Abimelech gave him a blessing and a sword. Now, what does that sound like to Saul? He didn't say, yeah, Abimelech, I saw the priest Abimelech, but David lied to him, and Abimelech didn't know anything about what was going on, and it wasn't malicious. No, instead, the Edomite tells the story the way he wants it heard, because that's how the devil is. And beware of people when they're coming to you and they're telling you something, and it's, you know, you lock in because it seems like information that you might need. Hmm. Remember, consider, people tell the story they want it heard. If you find yourself in the middle of a relationship, for example, and you may be counseling the wife, you may be counseling the husband, they're telling you the story the way they want it heard.
Duly noted.
There's always, make sure that you keep a wide open area that's called gray. Undisclosed information is what I call the gray. Because otherwise you can get the wrong impression from just listening to one person. And that is exactly what Saul did. He listened to one person, this Edomite, and you would think that he'd know better, because Saul knew Abimelech and knew that Abimelech's family and tribe had always been faithful to the kingdom. So all of a sudden you get one word and here you go. Keep reading.
Then the king sent for the priest of Amalek, son of Ahitub, and all the men of his family, who were the priests of Nob, and they all came to the king. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." "Yes, my lord," he answered. Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me, as he does today." Amalek answered the king, "Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard, and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair." But the king said,
stop right there. Once we have bit into the poison apple, we've taken knowledge and we've considered it fact and ran with it in our mind.
Yeah.
A lot of times after that, we can't even hear truth when it's coming to you, because we've already made up our mind about something that maybe we should not have done that. So you hear the other side. First thing, you can tell when Abimelech says how trustworthy David is. That tells the king right there that Abimelech doesn't know anything about David's name being banned from the kingdom.
Right.
He thinks all is well. What do you mean? Can't believe it. Can't believe what he's hearing. So he states his cakes. Of course we would never. Abimelech is saying we would never. My house, we've always been. What are you saying? And by the way, as far as, you know, inquiring to the Lord for David, we've done that. I've done that in the past. I've done it many times. This isn't the first time I've done that. Why is this? What are you accusing us of? Keep going.
But the king said, "You will surely die, Amalek, you and your whole family." Then the king ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me." My goodness. But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord. The king then ordered Dong Doeng, you turn and strike down the priest. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also
Stop for 1 second. They put that wore the ephod for a reason.
You told us what that was before. What is it?
It's a special vest. Set apart who are priests and who are not.
Okay.
And the special vest allowed them to hear from God, and it was a reminder of who they are.
Mm.
And you're gonna order someone with clear vision of who they are murdered. And these other guards of Saul had better sense. They said, I'm not doing that.
Right.
I am not raising my hand against the priest of the living Heavenly Father. I'm not doing that. But then he turns to Mr., you know, who set this thing up and tells him to kill him, and he has no problem doing it. 85 of them. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priest, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. But one son of Amalek, son of the Ahitub, named Abithar, escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priest of the Lord. Then David said to Abithar, that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, I am responsible for the death of your whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me. Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen. Yeah.
So he kills the 85 people, the 85 priests.
Yeah.
And then he goes out and kills off this whole town. Their women, their children, their cattle. Isn't it interesting that in his wrath, he could actually kill everything like God ordered him to before and he didn't?
Right.
Hmm. Now David is taking responsibility. He is feeling like it's all his fault, because when he saw that Edomite there, he knew better than keep talking, but, you know, he didn't. How many times do we live with a great regret that something happened on our dime because we were warned in advance? Mm-hmm. We knew, this guy can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
We knew if we do this, it's going to result in that. And we didn't listen. We didn't listen to that urging of the Holy Spirit that says, don't talk so freely just yet. But we tend to get ahead of ourselves and ahead of God, and we sometimes talk where we ought not have.
Amen.
David is experiencing this right now. He says, when I saw him, I knew I shouldn't have said anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. And now it cost this man his entire family, not to mention all the priests of Nod, all of them.
Wow.
85 dead. And the only one who escapes is Abithar. And he turns around. How do you say his name? Oh, Abithar. Abithar.
Yeah.
Abithar. It's Abithar.
Okay, Abithar.
So he comes to David. And you're going to see Abithar's story is amazing, because you just wonder what happens in people. Because Abithar is going to be with David all the way to the death of David.
Wow, that's awesome.
Except that at certain point, you're going to see him turn all the way at the final days of David. Abithar turns on David. With one of David's sons and not Absalom, the other one. But you'll see that as it unfolds. It's really, we have to learn to be very careful and very wise, because the days that we're living in, there's enemies all around you.
Amen.
Yeah, when there's people around you that you think are on your side, they're not. And they tend to stay close. But they're not your friend. They're not on your side. And we've got to seek the Lord for wisdom and discernment so that we don't say, keep revealing to your left hand what your right hand is doing.
Yes.
There's a reason Jesus 2,000 years, 4,000 years later, gives that very warning. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because not everybody around you is really part of the body.
Amen.
Saints, when the Lord is teaching you and telling you something, don't tell everything.
Amen.
When the Lord speaks to you about somebody and shows you something about that person, believe the Lord. Don't listen to the person and trust the Lord. And then ask God for wisdom as to how to go forward to handle that person. But it starts with being wise. I've said it before, I say again, don't talk so much. Even to people that you really think, you know, got you. You're going to see in this story, Abithar, who, you know, appreciates David taking him in and blah, 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 and he's loyal to David. But even he changes. Keep what God is showing you and teaching you close to the heart. Now, I'm not saying your ministry. I'm not saying when you're ministering to other people. I'm talking about things that we reveal to people that can come back and bite you later. Somebody give me an example of that.
An example of you speaking too much and someone comes around, it comes back and bites you later because you shouldn't have opened your mouth, or they manipulate the conversation and what you confided in them and told them. Is that what you're meaning?
So I have an example. So somebody testifies that they're grieved because they had an affair, and the person ministering to them says, you know, I had an affair too, but God forgave me, and my marriage is stronger than ever, so don't you give up, and God doesn't condemn us for our sins. And then a couple of years later, the person who was ministering say they want to become a pastor or something, and then the members start whispering or gossiping. You know, that guy or that woman, he's not right. He cheated on his wife. Blah 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 blah, or drugs. You know, or somebody says I'm hooked on drugs and I just can't get off. And this minister says, well, I did drugs too, and I did cocaine. I even sold drugs, you know. And then later on in life, as people grow, they want a new life. But the person who received this information about the minister, the ministering person, holds it against them. They go, well, you used to be a drug dealer. You can't be a deacon, or you can't be an officer of the church. You're tainted. So,
and that's
exactly
what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Now, here we're going to say, we'll start with one of the first examples. The person had an affair and God was able to restore their marriage, and they're saying God can forgive you too. And why is this person disclosing that? He's disclosing it because he wants, or she wants, to relate to the person on a personal level.
Right. Makes sense.
Exactly. But wisdom might tell them, or discernment might tell them, you can say the same thing. Just say, I know of people personally that have been caught in adultery, caught up in, and God was able to restore their marriage. Don't think for one minute God can't do that for you.
Choice words.
Choosing your words.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, I was, oh, I did the same thing. Don't even, please. God has forgiven me. Like Terry said, okay, I was a drug dealer and I used to use drugs. Well, now they're trying to go on with their life and God has brought them a mighty long way and they've been called into ministry. And now here comes the accuser of the saints.
Right.
But he only has that information to use against that person because that person disclosed something.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe they could have kept to themselves or said it differently where the person had nothing to run with. Something I want you to realize, and this is very important, when you're ministering to somebody that is caught in a stronghold of some sort, drugs, alcohol, could be anything, gambling, lying, cheating, remember, they're under the influence of an unclean spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nine times out of ten.
Mm.
So when you're talking to them, guess who's listening?
Adversary.
Yeah.
Now, many years later, they've gotten free from their stronghold, and, you know, they're in the same church you're in, or they're still, you know, you still are in contact with that person. It doesn't mean that the adversary can't bring up what can be found in their flesh, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
When we make mistakes, when we do things that are contrary to God's will, is it because we're demon possessed?
No.
No.
So what is it that causes you to gossip? What is it that causes you to not be happy for somebody when God has blessed somebody?
Jealousy.
Yeah, jealousy. Envy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you have a demon of jealousy?
No. No.
Not necessarily. You could. Mm-hmm. It could be that deep-rooted in you. But most of the time, in a child of God's life, it's just something that the adversary knows he can find. Let me put it this way. It's something the adversary knows you're good for.
Yeah.
This is an area that this person trips all the time. Let me see. I want some gossip spread. Let me go to Sister Blabbermouth. I can trust her to spread gossip. I want some money to start coming up missing. I can go to sister or brother, Brother Steele, because he has a problem stealing from the pot. So what I'm going to do is make sure that the church appoints him as the person who handles the finances after offering. I'll put Brother Steele there because I know he won't steal most of the time, but now and then I can get him to steal. And eventually I'll make sure that everyone finds out and his testimony is blown.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'll hurt people because they keep coming up short and there's no money left to help somebody who says, I can't get my lights on.
Yeah.
That's how the adversary works. He works with what he can find in us. So, as back to the point, be very careful about who you tell what to. And the best thing is what Jesus said, is let your yea be yea and your nay be nay.
Amen.
He said after that, what's coming is usually going to result in some kind of evil. Don't talk too much.
Yeah.
And when God gives you a warning, listen. When David saw mm-hmm. that Edomite standing there, he knew stop talking, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it results in so many people being hurt.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we don't listen, it results in a lot of people being hurt.
Yeah.
The backlash isn't just you. It's you and everything connected to you. Remember, it's like a puzzle. And all these pieces are making one picture.
Yeah.
And when one piece, you know, really screws up, the picture is damaged. You can't even, it's damaged. It's ongoing. Keep going.
Thank you for that. We received that. When David Amen. Was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against the Keilah and are looting the threshing floors, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines?
The Lord answered him, "Go attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces?" Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, "Go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand."
David, so David, stop right there. Stop right there. Sometimes God is calling you to do something, and you feel, somebody on this call can testify to this because it happened recently, you feel at a loss. I'm suffering myself. Me and my men are already afraid.
Yeah.
We're camped up here in Judah, and we feel like sitting ducks. And yet I hear that these people are going to be attacked by the Philistines, and the Philistines are going to destroy them. What did we just hear? That even in your circumstances, sometimes there's somebody that's even in more perilous circumstances.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
And if you can pull yourself out of you and your mess,
yes,
and the situation you think is so bad, and help somebody else, God will bring victory.
Mm-hmm. May God be the glory.
Mm-hmm.
May God be
it's
the glory.
Really a beautiful thing the way God works like that. I can give personal testimony to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's people on this call right now that can give personal testimony to that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God will show you somebody that is worse off than you and say, go help them.
Yeah.
And you're saying, Lord, help them with what? I don't have any money to be shelling out for somebody else.
Come on.
I can barely meet my own needs.
Oh, preach it. Hallelujah.
And then the Lord may say, yeah, but are you on the street?
Come on. Come on. Preach it.
Do you still have shelter over your head?
Preach it.
Yeah, Lord, I do, but I don't have this and I don't have that. Well, you know what? This person needs the little you do have. Can you manage that?
Come on.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have nothing to give. You do have something to give.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm going to send you somebody in worse circumstances to see how gracious you are.
Come on. Come on.
Since you're asking me for grace in your life, you're asking me for provision in your life, let me see what you'll do when I send you somebody that you can help.
Ooh.
Oh, I know how hard it is because I'm going through it myself. Are you going through that?
Mm.
Is your whole town about to be attacked by Philistines and wiped out? Remember, these people have no swords. They can't even defend themselves.
Won't even defend
themselves. And this is an Israeli town. These are Israelites. These are sons of Jacob. These are your brothers. Well, I don't know, Lord. I'm all pent up here in Judah, afraid to move myself. But what did David do? He inquired of the Lord. How many times are we going to see this? We're going to see it over and over and over, that even in his fear and in his deficit, he inquires of the Lord. What should I do?
Inquire of the Lord. Inquire.
Inquire of the Lord. And the Lord says, go. Go, seriously? My 400 men against this Philistine army? Are you sure? Because we're afraid where we are, okay? We're already afraid. So you know we're afraid to go and start fighting a battle.
Yes.
And the Lord said, again, go. So what does David do? Go.
Yes.
And let's see what happens.
So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Now Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, had brought the ephod down with him when he fled to David at Keilah. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars. And Saul called up all his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men.
Not a good move.
When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord, God of Israel, your servant has heard definitely that Saul plans to come to Keilah and destroy the town on account of me. Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me to him? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will." Again, David asked, "Will the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David
Amen.
Stayed in the wilderness.
Stop there for a minute. Okay. Another tough lesson, children of the living God. Sometimes the very people you help will turn on you.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
So understand when you're helping someone, when you're walking by and you see somebody beat up on the road, understand they got there somehow. Just be cautious and don't be expecting big thank yous.
Don't be expecting
a whole bunch of gratitude.
Yes.
Do it because it's what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And then keep it moving, because if you're waiting for gratitude and you're waiting for payback here on earth, you're going to be very disappointed, because usually the people that are giving are not the same ones that are taking.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
If you're someone that God has given the gift of giving, whether, and I'm not even talking monetary, I mean just plain giving, you give of yourself, you're going to run into a whole lot of people that take what you give.
Yes.
And then you're going to look around and say, "Well, who's given to me?"
Amen.
"Who's given to me, Lord?" Well, frankly, givers meet takers. And takers meet givers.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you do and remember why you do it.
Amen.
If not, you will end up in a particular party, which is called the pity party. Not a good place for a Christian to be. "Well, I give and I've done and I keep doing and nobody hardly even says thank you." And even the people that you give to when you're in need, because you will find yourself in need. Why am I saying that? Because life is a full circle.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to give and you have to learn how to receive.
Amen.
Yeah. It was so easy for me to give. I loved giving. Receiving, not so much. Receiving has been very hard for me.
Because
receiving is humbling.
It truly is.
But life is going to do a full circle on all of us. You've got to learn how to receive and learn how to give.
Yeah.
But often, the people that I've given to, I can't find them. If
Amen.
They're nowhere to be seen when I'm in need.
Yes.
But God sends some other random person. I said random. Some random person comes by and gives, and I'm wondering, and now I understand, it's because they're a giver. And I'm in the need to receive. The people that are, most of the people that have been in my life, they're receivers. So they're not around when I'm in need. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I ain't hating. I'm not mad at them. But we can get there if we don't keep our focus on why we do what we do.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You can end up feeling disappointed, unappreciated, and the list goes on, and then you just have a big fat pity party by yourself.
Yeah.
Because nobody's coming to that party but you.
Oh, man.
David keeps inquiring of the Lord, and in this case, he had to ask again because he really could not believe that these people would turn him over after he just delivered them from the hands of the Philistines.
Yes.
But I want you to know something. I want you to see something that's just read over. Didn't David come in with 400 men?
Mm-hmm.
What is he leaving with?
Very little.
600 men.
600.
God increased his power by doing what God told him to do. Mm. Now he's up to 600. He went in with four. Now he's up to six. And don't think that these people didn't appreciate it. They just will never be able to get past their fear of Saul.
Right.
And what will be rumored all throughout Israel? We were about to be destroyed by the Philistines, and David and his, you know, band of renegades showed up and delivered us from the hands of the Philistines. Do you see what God is doing here?
Mm-hmm.
God is building David's reputation
aside
from Saul. David had this great reputation under Saul, but now he's been cast out of the kingdom. But now God is building it. And in order for God to build this in you, you have to put fear aside and step forward.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatever God is trying to do in your life, he can't do it if you can't put fear down. You've got to let fear go. And trust and hold God's hand. He will take you through.
Yes.
No matter what it's looking like, no matter how bad the circumstances seem. David knew what this town looked like, what Keilah looked like. He knew what it looked like, and it's covered. It's got bars and gates that is, you know, encircling that town. Sure, that could be like a trap for him. But he went to God. God said, go help them. He did what he was supposed to do. And now Saul says, oh, he's in my trap. That's a perfect trap. He can't get out of there. All we have to do is flood the front door, and he's in the cage.
Yeah.
Amen.
But before David fled that place, he said, Lord, I hear Saul is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Is he coming? Lord said, yes, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people going to deliver me?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to deliver you. Okay, time to go. Bye, Keilah. But look what God is doing. Do you see the fabric being woven right under David's feet?
Yes.
I do.
Yes, absolutely.
He's already getting the reputation of being a mighty, mighty warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But shall he stay? No. It's important, lesson number one, that we learn how to inquire of God for every move we make.
Amen, amen, amen.
Because
amen.
If not, you can get into a trap. You can find yourself stuck, and you're wondering, well, I know God led me here, but you didn't listen when he said move.
Yes. Yes.
There's so many lessons in just a few verses.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to overlook, but he left with 600 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God is building his army. He's building David's ministry. He's building David's kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And all of us, we sit before the Lord and we say, oh, Lord, help me this. I want that. Are you gonna use me, Lord? I just want you to use me. But we can't get past our own fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I already caused a bunch of people to get killed. Am I getting ready to cause a bunch of people to get killed again? Actually, you are. I suggest you leave.
Mm.
Wow.
I'm carrying the weight from just verses earlier where you got all the priests killed.
Mm-hmm.
So if my presence is going to cause that, I'm up and out of here. But he went to the Lord answers him. But we need to do the same. Go to the Lord. He will answer you. And if you say, well, I don't hear him answer me. He doesn't answer me like that. Wait.
Amen.
He will answer you.
Amen.
And if you say, well, I think God's telling me to do this, but I'm not really sure it's God, God can confirm it. be still and wait till God confirms it. Because a lot of times we confirm it ourselves.
Amen.
That's something we want to do, so we confirm it ourselves. Amen. Well, I'm pretty sure God told me to do this, so. Oh, did God tell you that? I'm pretty sure he did, so.
Amen.
So I'm just going to go on and move forward. Did you confirm it? Hmm. Confirm it?
Nope.
No, because I really don't know that I'd like the answer if I tried to confirm it.
Hmm.
In other words, a lot of times we're telling ourselves stuff. And that's how we can get into a situation and then have problems getting out of it.
Yeah, amen.
I've had situations, and I know it's be hard to hear, but I've had situations where I've seen a need and I've wanted to help, and God told me don't help.
Yeah, been there, done that.
And I said, you said don't help. Wait, what?
Yeah.
If I see a need and I have the ability to help, I'm going to help. Lord said, didn't tell you to do that.
Well, it hurt. Mm.
Hmm. I learned later why he said don't help.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was trying to teach that person to depend on God.
Amen.
He wants it to come from an avenue that only he could have come up with.
Yeah.
Not the person say, well, I've got some friends that could help out here. No.
Hmm.
Lord said, this time I want them to see it's my hand and my hand alone.
Amen, amen.
Not that you have good friends. No, that's not, no. And I've watched. I had to sit back and watch some struggling happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? The person calls up and says, you won't believe what God just did. And I'm sitting there thinking, woo, glad I didn't. I'll say that for someone you tell me to help.
Okay. 1 minute.
Okay, we're going to close right there. Any comments or questions?
Yes. First off, let me say I apologize for the noise and the adversary is so busy. I knew not to click. I stay on mute. However, I acknowledge that you heard noise, Miss Jeanette, when you paused. And the spirit instantly dropped, fell on me and said, Sheba, you knew better to shift. You knew better to answer. You knew better. That's why you was rushing off the phone, because I have a message for you today, Sheba, and you need to listen. And as I clicked over and when I felt that you heard noise, I apologize to everyone. However, the adversary was telling me to hang up the phone, because that's how instantly bad I felt to interrupt God's word and message that was pouring out. And as in my mind, my subconscious mind, I'm battling it in that quick moment, and it's telling me to hang up the phone. You don't need to hear this today, because you made noise and it was an interruption. I instantly prayed and blocked it out, and I say, I rebuke you. I need to hear this message. God meet me on his phone, and I continue to mute, and I stayed on. So thank you for being so obedient. That was mighty, 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 and I received every ounce of the message today, even through reading. And that's what I have to, that's all I have to say. So praise be to God. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. May the blood continue to keep us covered, and especially our mental health, our state of mind, because that's how sudden the adversary move in the midst of when God has us doing our work and receiving. That's it.
Amen.
Can I share a testimony that might take us take about a minute?
Look at God.
Is it
hallelujah?
Can I share a testimony that might take a... Okay. So yesterday, the day before yesterday, my husband Jerry went to the gym after 2 years. Didn't think anything of it. But yesterday, we volunteered at our brick-and-mortar church to offer drive-in communion and prayer. So I'm in the driveway offering prayer. Jerry, the pastor, gave him a sign to hold, to stand at the corner so people would know to come to the church building. And there was another sign on the other corner. Now, I shared some information with the gentleman that was standing idle, basically, the pastor and some other people. Mm-hmm. And then I had, the Lord told me, go check on Jerry. And I said, well, he's down there holding a sign. I turned to walk toward Jerry, which was just a block down the road, down the street, and a stranger runs toward me and says, a man has fallen on the street, and he won't get up. He can't get up. By the time I got there and all the others, Jerry was unconscious with his feet on the curb, and his head had hit the street, and his he fell on his shoulder. Now, there was a man standing over Jerry, and the man said to me, he's got his vital signs. He's breathing, all his vital signs. Somebody else called the ambulance, somebody else, and the fire truck. It turned out that Jerry passed out, and he's in the hospital now, but it turns out that he passed out more than likely because he worked out, he was dehydrated, and he didn't eat properly to stand out there with the sign. Okay, so that's how the body works, you know, and so forth and so on. Here's what I just to tell you how God surrounded him immediately. All of this awareness happened within 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes. God, the lady who was looking out of her window, she saw Jerry getting dizzy. She saw him fall. She told her husband, go out there and check on that man. Her husband is a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. The doctor is standing over Jerry. And for some reason, strangers don't touch people when they fall. They just look at them. But this doctor checked his vitals. And to have somebody else around to call the ambulance while I'm talking to Jerry and trying to get him back with me, I was just amazed at how, had this happened at home, I would have been alone. And I think, you know, some of you know that my concern about being alone and not being surrounded by people who believe like me. We're scattered all over the place. So I don't have that circle of support that would immediately come to me physically to help me. Mm-hmm. But here, if this is going to happen, God showed me how he'll have people looking out windows and qualified people coming out their doors to help. It was amazing, and I was just...
You're never on your own, and you're never alone. That's his point.
Yes. Hey, Miss Janelle.
He's already set everything up.
Yes. I want to show me. Terry, listen to this. That same scenario happened to me, but I was at home alone. And God dropped a bus of angels before my doorstep. And nor did my husband pass out. He went into cardiac arrest and had a massive heart attack in front of the house cutting the grass. A doctor was riding his bike down our street and revived him. The Lord unleashed buses of angels.
Wonderful.
And I was home alone with my husband. So we serve a mighty God. We serve
mighty
a mighty God. A mighty God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing
that.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing yourself mighty, Lord.
Yes.
What a blessing.
What a blessing.
Yes, indeed.
What a blessing.
What an assurance. An assurance of his presence.
What an assurance. Yes.
Wow.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Jeanette, I just want to remind you about the web address and the physical address that you wanted to know.
Tammy, how fast I forgot completely about it.
I'm sorry.
That's the blessed assurance of Tammy.
Exactly. Thank you for that. The web address, if you miss a message, you can go to www.secondchanceproduction.com. And that second spelled with a 2-N-D.
Oh, 2-N-D.
And you can download, usually within maybe 30 minutes of a message, I will download it onto the website. So you can go to the website and just click on it and listen to it if you like.
Nice.
A number two.
Oh, okay. Second chance, the number two.
Com?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
Second Chance Production.
Oh, production.
www.secondchanceproduction.com.
Where do I download to get tickets? Are these tickets or no?
No, that's tickets
the
when
business?
We used to do productions. It's a
no,
kind
I mean
of an
the,
older website.
No, I mean the business cards to pass out to people. So.
Oh, no, no. You just send me your address, and I'll send you how many you're requesting.
Yeah,
okay.
I did that.
So everybody on this call, send just text me your address, and then I'll send them out between Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
And how many you require. This is what I'm working with. I have 500 that I can send out, so... however many you require, probably, you know, don't worry about that. Oh, if I ask for more than 10.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. I'm doing
oh.
it now.
Yeah, me
okay.
too. Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to close in prayer. Who would like to close us in prayer? Tammy, will you close us in prayer
okay.
today?
Okay.
Yes, I will. Dear Heavenly Father, we cannot bring up enough words to thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, all that you cover us with. We don't think we have the protection. We don't know how we're going to do something or what's going to happen, but you're there, Lord God. We are never alone, Lord, because you are always with us. You are ever present, even when we are so consumed with the things of this world. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this word. We thank you for the testimonies, Lord God. We thank you for the fellowship,
yes.
Lord. We thank you
yes.
for this
thank
body
you.
That you've created, Lord God, through Second Chance Ministries. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
thank you Jesus.
Thank you,
it's not... It's not the typical way. It's not the conventional way, but it's your way, Lord. And you're reaching people.
Yes.
You're equipping people. You're raising people up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus,
yes.
to reach
you,
the hurting and the lost of this world,
yes,
Lord. In these final days, Lord, that's our mission, Lord God, is to live for you, Lord God, to follow your path, not for ourselves, not for what we want. Or what we think we need, but for you, Lord God. And we ask you just to protect us, Lord, from the enemy. We know that he's just rampant. He's in our thoughts. He's in our homes. He's everywhere he can be, Lord. But your protection, your angels, Lord, are greater. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the healing, all the miracles that you've done in our lives, Lord God, how you're healing struggles and strongholds in each and every one of us, Lord God, in our family members, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for lifting up my son and for healing him, Lord. Even though I don't see it yet, Lord, I know your hand is
thank
in
you.
It, Lord.
Yeah.
I thank
you
for your direction, Lord God. I thank you for
yes,
the positives and the happy things that I do see, Lord God. Thank you.
Yes,
help me
thank
not
you.
To be knocked off as well as anyone else. Help us not to be distracted or knocked off
yeah.
the path of the journey that you have us on, Lord, at this point in our lives,
yes,
Lord. We thank
yes,
you.
Lord.
We thank you,
thank
Lord.
You,
I
Lord.
Thank you for blessings
you,
and protection as we leave this call, Lord, until we meet next time, Lord God. Help us just to, oh, Lord God, thank you, Lord Jesus, just to keep you in
yeah.
our minds, Lord,
yes,
throughout
Lord.
Our
yeah.
day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank
you. Have a blessed week.
Blessed week, everyone.
Everyone.
Amen.
Week of gratitude. Thank you.
Amen.